Welcome to The Pulpit, the sermon podcast of Calvary Moravian Church. My name is Pastor Chaz Snyder, and I hope you'll use this recording to grow deeper in God's Word and help you on your spiritual journey.
Our first Old Testament lesson is from Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host with them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work, which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all his work, which he had done in creation. Our second Old Testament lesson is from Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your manservant or your maidservant or your cattle or your sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Please stand as you are able for the reading of the gospel. Our gospel lesson is from Mark chapter 2, verses 23 through 28. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never heard what David did when he was in need and was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest, and he ate the bread of presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. And he said to him, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated.
Let us pray together. Holy God, as we gather together this morning, may nothing but your word be spoken, and may nothing but your word be heard. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. It might not surprise you that over the past 3 or 4 months, I have been in prayerful observance of what it means to consistently participate in and prioritize Sabbath. And since this opportunity to preach also coincides with our society's celebration of Labor Day, it seemed acceptable to deviate from our normal lectionary readings to reflect a bit upon that sacred word, Sabbath. The word Sabbath has an ancient feel to it, a word that we tend to hear and associate most often with church or spiritual exercises. Sabbath may even seem impossible in our society, where we prioritize doing something over nothing. Constant movement and distraction, to-do lists that accompany us throughout the day, promising both a sense of accomplishment — there's really nothing like striking a line through that task that you've completed — as well as an unattainable finish line. Just as soon as you've finished or mostly finished that list, there's another one to be created for tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. Or at least that's how it is for me. Those lists become a record of how we spend our time, where we put our focus, and in some cases, even our self-worth. The longer the list, the more important our days, our time must be. What does Sabbath really mean in today's world, where our phones and computers are always on? There is endless noise. Our calendars are full to overflowing, and rest is considered a luxury. What does it mean to keep the Sabbath? I suspect if this time together were a conversation in which we posed that question to each other, we'd have as many different answers as those of us here today, those of us listening online or later. As we heard Alexander read a few minutes ago, keeping the Sabbath isn't simply a passing suggestion from God. It is a commandment, the fourth commandment to be exact. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. The first people to hear these commandments were an exhausted Hebrew people recently freed from slavery out of Egypt. A people who had labored for generations with no dignity, no chance to rest or breathe. They were simply a people whose value was tallied by the amount of work they produced. Imagine for a moment what hearing these words might have meant to them. In these two sentences, God says clearly, "You are not what you produce. You are not a machine. You are not how hard you work." By including this fourth commandment in the relatively short list of 10, not an easy list, but a short one nonetheless, God offers us a time to rest, to reflect, to be still enough to hear and feel the Holy Spirit active in the rhythm of our daily lives, and to be grateful. In a society that fosters a sense that we are never enough, we are also bombarded day after day that we never have enough. We need more. We want more. What might it be like to take consistent, holy moments within our day or our week to simply be grateful for all God's goodness and bounty to us? What might it be like to find this rhythm of gratitude? Within this rhythm, we can resist the notion that we aren't enough, that we aren't worthy to rest and to retreat. We can resist the voice that is constantly calculating how long each task might take and if there are enough minutes in the day to accomplish them. We are able to resist the fear that comes with putting everything down and reconnecting with that still, small voice of calm that resides in us. We are able to have enough time. As we turn then from Exodus to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verses 23 to 28, we see Jesus walking with his disciples through the grain fields on the Sabbath. The disciples begin plucking heads of grain because they're hungry. The Pharisees confront Jesus and ask him why they are breaking the law by doing work on holy days. Jesus responds, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath." In this one moment, Jesus reclaims Sabbath. He recenters and reconnects Sabbath as blessing, not a law-ridden burden. Sabbath is meant to feed us when we're hungry, allow us to rest when we're tired, and offer us clarity when we close our eyes long enough to see the path ahead. One question this raises for us today is, have we made rest into something we feel guilty about? Furthermore, does rest become yet another item on our to-do list? If we add rest to the bottom of the list, knowing we then must accomplish every other task listed before we allow ourselves to rest, that isn't Sabbath. That's just a reward, keeping us in the same patterns of exhaustion. How many of us are guilty of saying the phrase, "Well, if I can just get through this next event or conference or holiday or exam or you fill in the blank, then I'll be fine. I'll be able to rest and breathe." And then when we do make it over the next hurdle, there's always another one looming. The invitation of the Sabbath is this: you are already worthy of rest, not because of what you've done, but because of who you are. We are part of a world that seems to thrive on exhaustion and a seemingly constant lack of time. Creation is deeply, deeply tired. Sabbath is the gift freely given to us as individuals and as communities that says, stop, breathe, and heal. The question remains, however, how do we reclaim Sabbath in our busy, overworked, overfunctioned, overscheduled lives? Because reality is real, right? I will be honest with you. I am scared that the peace and stillness I was able to find while on my recent sabbatical will disappear as the rhythms of work and service, which I dearly love, comes back into my daily life, one element after the other. We have all felt the rest of a vacation instantly overshadowed by the sound of a Monday morning alarm clock. I wonder if we might endeavor to find sacred moments of Sabbath, whether it is specific moments within each day for a few deep breaths and a short prayer, or an afternoon walk. Maybe it is working in your garden and touching nature with your bare hands, or sharing a meal with friends or loved ones. Perhaps it is turning off your phone and computer for a few hours or even an entire day. Maybe we could even ask each other in our Calvary family of faith, how have you kept Sabbath this week? Just as a reminder that we are each other's support in the calm of our lives, just as we are in the busyness of our lives. Because when we honor Sabbath, when we create space for stillness, we find ourselves again. We find our community again. We remember that we are human, that we are loved, that we are not God. And that is great news. Friends, we embark upon a new season, a new year for work, school, sports, artistic endeavors, celebrations, and even a new busy season for us here at Calvary. May we remember the sacred rhythm of Sabbath. Remember that God moves through us in moments and days of Sabbath. God has granted us the gift of time. And how we use it and rest within it is just as important as what we accomplish. God shows us in times of rest and retreat that we are enough. We are enough without the work we produce. We are simply enough. We are more than the constant calculation of 1,000 tasks every day. When we take those moments, hours, or days to be still enough to hear the still small voice of calm that lives inside us, we are reminded that we are beloved children of God, made in God's image. We can remember that after 6 days of speaking creation into existence, God rested and hallowed the work, not because God was tired, but because God was weaving rest into the DNA of creation. Sabbath isn't something we earn, it is something we receive. Just like the overwhelming grace of God, it is sacred and the holy way we honor God for the time we are granted on this earth. I would like to close today with a rather lengthy prayer written by Father Michael Coist, a 20th century Catholic French priest, theologian, and writer who is most famous for his book of prayers penned in 1954. I read this prayer every day while I was away, and it affected me greatly. I offer it to you today. The poem is entitled, Lord, I Have Time. I went out, Lord. People were coming and going, walking and running. Everything was rushing. Cars, trucks, the street, the whole town. People were rushing not to waste time. they were rushing after time, to catch up with time, to gain time. "Goodbye, sir. Excuse me, I haven't the time. I'll come back. I can't wait. I haven't time. I must end this letter. I haven't time. I'd love to help you, but I haven't time. I can't accept having no time. I can't think. I can't read. I'm swamped. I haven't time. I'd like to pray, but I haven't time. You understand, Lord, they simply haven't the time. The child is playing. She hasn't time right now. Later on, the schoolboy has his homework to do. He hasn't time. Later on, the student has her courses and so much work. Later on, the young married man has his new house. He has to fix it up. He hasn't time. Later on, the grandparents have their grandchildren. They haven't time. Later on, they are ill. They have their treatments. They haven't time. Later on, they are dying. They have no... Too late. They have no more time. And so all people run after time, Lord. They pass through life running, hurried, jostled, overburdened, frantic, and they never get there. They haven't time. In spite of all their efforts, they're still short of time, of a great deal of time. Lord, you must have made a mistake in your calculations. There is a big mistake somewhere. The hours are too short. Our lives are too short. You who are beyond time, Lord, you smile to see us fighting it, and you know what you are doing. You make no mistakes in your distribution of time to us. You give each one time to do what you want us to do. But we must not lose time, waste time, kill time, for it is a gift that you give us, but a perishable gift, a gift that does not keep. Lord, I have time. I have plenty of time. All the time that you give me, the years of my life, the days of my life, the days of my years, the hours of my days, they are all mine. Mine to fill quietly, calmly, but to fill completely, up to the brim, to offer them to you, that of their insipid water you may make a rich wine, such as you made once in Cana of Galilee. I am not asking you today, Lord, for time to do this and then that, but for your grace to do conscientiously in the time that you give me what you want me to do. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for the gifts of Sabbath and the gift of time. Help us remember that rest is not a weakness, it's sacred. May we hear your voice every day saying, you are enough, even now, especially now. And may we find in Sabbath rest the space to breathe, to heal, the time to become whole again, and to remember the foundation on which we stand. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.